Well, in celebration of that national event, my birthday, Jen and I are telling you a couple of my favorite folk tales during this half hour of Tell Us a Tale. And actually, they both deal with birds. I don't know about you, but I love waking up in the morning and listening to the birds singing outside. I've actually gotten up in the morning and recorded them, and then I've used them here at Tell Us a Tale in the background of stories for you boys and girls. Well, this next story actually deals with birds singing. It's an old northern Italian folktale called Days of the Blackbird, retold by Tomi DiPaola, and that's published by G.P. Putnam's Sons.
Many years ago, high in the northern mountains of the country now known as Italy, a duke lived alone with his daughter, Gemma. He was a widower and had brought Gemma up by himself. The fine house in which they lived stood in the middle of the town, and the doors were open to any and all who had need. For Duca Gennaro was a kind man who was known to be wise and fair to all. Every morning, Duca Gennaro would sit behind his huge table in the great hall and listen to the people who came with their problems, arguments, and complaints. From the time she was a small child, Gemma had watched her father talk to each one and seen them leave satisfied and happy with his advice. In the afternoons, Gemma would join her father in the courtyard after her studies.
Why don't you do this fine day, Carl, my sweet one?
Gemma would tell her father all she had done, what she had read, and what new things she had learned from her tutor.
I like this.
As they sat and talked, the brightly colored birds nestled in the trees would begin to sing.
Listen, my little one, il concerto, the concert, it has begun.
Always one song lifted in the air above the others. It was from a pure white bird, and her song was the sweetest of all. Gemma called her La Colomba. Duca Gennaro was never happier than when he was in his courtyard with Gemma, listening to the birds serenade them.
This is so nice.
But winter came early in these high mountains. As soon as the snow began to fall and the days grew shorter, the birds left for warmer places in the south. Then Duca Gennaro and Gemma would spend their afternoons together in the great hall near a large crackling fire burning brightly in the fireplace.
I like this, Gemma.
Snowdrifts would pile higher and higher, and winter seemed to go on forever. But Duca Gennaro always reassured Gemma that spring would return.
Home, dear Gemma, the days will get longer. The sun will shine. La primavera will come.
Then the birds will return and you will have I concerti again, Papa.
Yes, see, I miss my bird songs.
And just as her father had promised, the snows would melt, the trees would sprout buds, and then one day the clear song of La Colomba would fly through the windows and into the great hall. She was always the first to return. In no time at all, the courtyard was filled with flowers and birds. Duca Gennaro and Gemma would take their places under the trees and listen to the beautiful melodies.
I love this music so much.
One year, after a hot summer under clear blue skies, Duca Gennaro fell ill. The doctors were called, but nothing they did seemed to help. The Duke stayed in his bed, unable to get up.
Open the window, Gemma, so I can hear Il Concerto.
The songs of the birds seemed to soothe the Duke. So every afternoon, Gemma would go to his room and open the window. Together they listened to the bird songs, and Duca Gennaro was able to fall asleep. Gradually, the days shortened and the air grew colder. Gemma knew that winter was on its way. Even now, a dusting of snow covered the courtyard in the early morning. Gemma saw some of the birds fly off.
Please, please, Carissimi, dear ones, stay and sing for my father. He will surely get better if he can hear your music, for it is then that he rests. I will feed you and put the baskets in the trees where you can nest in and keep warm. Restate, vi prego. prego, please stay.
Gemma put out plates of seeds and suet for the birds to eat. She tied baskets to the branches of the trees and filled them with soft wool so the birds would be warm. Every day the birds sang, and even though the Duke didn't get better, he didn't get worse. The heavy snowfalls didn't stay away forever. In December, they began. Now more birds left. But La Colomba stayed and sang longer and sweeter for Gemma and her father. Soon it would be Natale, Christmas. Every year, Gemma, her father, and others looked forward to Christmas morning. The children from the town would come to the great hall for a feast with panettone, hot chocolate, and a small gift for each of them. This year, the Duke was too ill to leave his room.
Gemma, you must sit in my chair on a Christmas morning and greet the children and give them their gifts.
Si, Papa.
And Gemma did as he wished, and La Colomba and the other birds that were still there sang a beautiful song for Natale. After Christmas, more snow fell, and by the end of the Epifania, the Feast of the Three Kings, on January 6th, most of the birds had gone. No more yellow birds with their pointy voices. No more blue birds with their voices like flutes. They and the green birds and the deep rose birds had all flown off to the south. Finally, in the middle of January, the red birds with their clear trills left too. Only La Colomba was still there. The Duke's friends knew how much he loved the bird songs, so they came to the courtyard to play and sing. But it wasn't human songs he wanted to hear, and the music and loud voices only tired him.
Thank you, Grazie. I can take the place. Go, go.
Gemma went to the garden wrapped in her warm cloak.
Colomba, please stay. I love my father so much. The doctors told me that he needs the warmth of the spring to get well. Your song, it gives him hope and reminds him that spring will come again soon. Please stay.
La Colomba stayed. Now it was near the end of January, the coldest days of the year. Bitter winds swirled around the mountain peaks, and the houses shuddered with the cold. Still, every afternoon, Gemma would open the window a crack, sit on her father's bed, and hold his frail hand while La Colomba sang her song loudly and clearly. On January 28th, the weather turned even more frigid. Inside the house, a fire blazed in the fireplace, and Gemma moved her father into the great hall. Outside, the basket of wool couldn't keep La Colomba warm. Gemma opened the window, and La Colomba flew onto the sill where the warm air from the fire could reach her. She started to sing her song and did not stop until darkness fell. Then she flew to the top of the chimney where the heat from the fire reached up to the bricks and she nestled down in warmth. For the next 2 days, La Colomba stayed in the chimney. She left only to eat and to sing for Duca Gennaro. He had fallen into a deep, feverish sleep, and Gemma sat by his side day and night. On the third day, the last day of January, La Colomba left the chimney and flew to the windowsill to sing. Gemma opened the window wide on the first notes of the song, but what she saw startled her, for the soot had changed La Colomba into a blackbird.
La Merla, a blackbird!
But when the bird's song filled the room, she knew it was La Colomba. The Duke opened his eyes and sat up for the first time in 3 days. He was weak but whispered,
My bird song.
Grazie, Merla. Your song has saved my father. And now I know he will be better.
La Merla flew back to the chimney. The next morning, a warm wind blew down the mountain, and Gemma felt spring on its way. The three coldest days of the year were over, but La Colomba remained La Merla. Her feathers were never white again. On the first warm day of the new year, Gemma and her father were in the courtyard when a red bird arrived, then a blue one, a yellow and a green. La Merla was waiting for them. And soon the courtyard was filled once more with song. From that year on, La Colomba would be known as La Merla, and all her children would be as well. To honor her, Duca Gennaro proclaimed that the last 3 days in January would thenceforth be known as La Giornate della Merla, the Days of the Blackbird. And to this day in the mountains of northern Italy, it is the same.
Of Days of the Blackbird was music off J. Rodrigo's album Concierto de Aranjuez. Well, we're going to close out this half hour of Tell Us a Tale now with one of my favorite tunes from the Chenille sisters called Little Chickadee, and that's off their album Teaching Hippopotami to Fly. Thanks for celebrating my birthday with me this week here at Tell Us a Tale and listening to a couple of my favorite stories along the way.
This is what she said. bird note. For many folks in the Pacific Northwest, Western Canada, and Alaska, the return of the rufous hummingbird in the spring is cause for celebration. The deep buzz of their arrival marks the start of summer. In July, many of the fiery red adult males have begun their migration southward. Meanwhile, the female rufous hummingbird has fledged her first two nestlings and is just about to fledge a second brood. The chicks are now as big as their mother, making the walls of their walnut-sized nest bulge outwards at maximum capacity. It takes about 40 days to fledge each brood, from egg-laying until the young learn to fly. They learn to feed on their own through trial and error until they finally figure out which flowers offer the best nectar. Nearly all the rufous hummingbirds will begin their migration by late August, sipping their way south on high mountain wildflowers all the way to Mexico, until they whistle into our lives again in spring. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. If you ever miss a Bird Note, you can always get the latest episode. Just tell your smart speaker, play the podcast Bird Note. Learn more on our website, birdnote.org.
Peter Jones, and as the Jan Smith Band just got done singing, you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to be celebrating a national event during this half hour. My birthday. Yes, that's right. Once a year, I get to pick out a couple of my favorite tales and stories in honor of my birthday. And actually, during this half hour, they both involve birds. I don't know about you, but I love being able to go outside and watch the birds fly around. Actually, I've got a bird's nest that's really close to my second floor window of my bedroom, and I just enjoy watching the bird come back and forth, making sure that the eggs are nice and safe and protected from all the predators down on the ground. Well, actually, the first story today involves that very subject of safety from the animals on the ground. It's an Australian tale from the Aboriginal people of Northern Australia called Rainbow Bird. It's retold by Eric Mattern and published by Little Brown and Company.
Long ago, in the time of dreams, when the world was being born, there lived a rough, tough crocodile man. He was huge and mean and scary, and he had one thing nobody else had: fire. Fire was his alone. Sometimes he held it with his foot. Sometimes he breathed it from his throat. Sometimes he balanced it on his head. He liked to play with fire. Fire was his, alone. When other animals begged for fire, Crocodile Man just laughed. If they came too close, he frightened them away, snarling and snapping his jaws.
I'm boss for fire. I'm boss for fire.
In a nearby tree lived Bird Woman. She could never get close to fire, so she had no light in the dark. She was cold at night, and she ate her fish and lizards raw. Often she pleaded with Crocodile Man for fire, but every time he snapped back,
"Eat your food raw."
"But what about people? How are they to cook their food?"
"They must eat it raw too."
And he knocked her away with his tail.
"You will not have my fire stick."
"You're so mean. If I had fire, I'd share it with you."
And she flew back up into the tree. Time passed. From her tree, Bird Woman watched Crocodile Man. And she flew about, catching her food, eating it raw, shivering with cold at night, but always watching and waiting, waiting and watching. Then one afternoon, Crocodile Man opened his jaws and gave the widest, longest, sleepiest, biggest yawn anyone had ever seen.
"Now's my chance."
And Bird Woman flashed down from the tree, snatched up the fire sticks, and flew back into the air. And there was nothing Crocodile Man could do.
"Now I shall give fire to people."
And she flew around the country, putting fire into the heart of every tree. From that day on, people could make fire using dry sticks and logs from a tree, and they could cook their food, keep warm at night, and light their way in the dark. Then Bird Woman did a little dance and put the fire sticks into her tail. She became the beautiful Rainbow Bird. Now Rainbow Bird flew back to Crocodile Man.
"Stay down there in the wet. I'll fly high in the dry. I'll be a bird. I'll stay on top live in the air, and if you come up here, you might die.
And to this day, Crocodile lives down in the swamp. His fire has gone now, but when he growls and opens his mouth, he still seems to say,
I'm boss. I am boss.
And Rainbow Bird, she lives in the sky, and sometimes, if you're lucky, you can see her still taking fire to the trees in a blaze of feathers, rainbow bright.
April 2002, Tell Us a Tale over at the Legendary Prism here in Charlottesville, Virginia. That was the Jan Smith Band performing the traditional tune, Free Little Bird.